You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tonight after 7, it's Ken Rudin's Political Junkie. Ken and his guests look at some of the most pivotal debates in American presidential campaign history and some of the best debate parodies from Saturday Night Live. That's tonight after 7 here on the Ideas Network. First, education is frequently touted as a top priority here in the state. Wisconsin is home to more than 867,000 students enrolled in public school in 2015, ranging from kindergarten to seniors in high school. But Wisconsin faces a number of challenges between reaching the needs of children of color to low teacher salary, staffing shortages, and funding cuts in a complicated school funding formula. State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Evers addressed legislators yesterday at the state capitol. He joins us now. Superintendent Evers, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks a lot, Rob, and happy Friday.
And to you, too. Well, you talked a lot about three groups of students, English language learners, children in poverty, and children with disabilities. Why was this an important focus in your address yesterday?
Well, it's an extremely important focus because several years ago, the Supreme Court took a look at our funding formula and indicated that there's like three groups of students, the three you mentioned, are kind of our canaries in the mine, because if the funding isn't adequate for those three areas, and frankly other areas where kids are struggling, our constitutionality of the funding system can be called into question. But more importantly, if kids are in a position that they need additional help and an extra lift, we have to make sure that we're prioritizing resources towards serving them.
So what kind of things can we do to prioritize those resources?
Well, some of the things that I planned when we submit our budget to the governor and his staff at the Department of Administration is, one, it's inside poker in a way, but there's a large amount of money in the one categorical aid program. It's called per pupil categorical aid. And right now it's given out evenly to school districts across the state. It's an equal amount per student. And I'll be proposing that it be weighted according to some kids in need, and including we're going to put a weighting for foster kids that are struggling in poverty and so on, and weight those. And so the districts that have more of those children, more of the expenses of those children to get them to give them an extra lift, they'll get more and more than those districts that don't. But we're asking for an increase enough that it will no one will get less than they did the previous year per kid. So that's one, and that's an important one. It sends a message that we need to prioritize equity in the state, and that's a critical issue across the country, but that's certainly here. So that's one area. We're looking at areas of mental health and making sure that our teachers, especially in rural schools, we continue to have great staffing there.
We'll get into that in a bit more, the teacher shortage idea. But I wanted to stick with the idea of courts and schools. You mentioned that. We saw Connecticut not that long ago, a court there saying, hey, state, you have to fix your school funding formula. There are have schools and have not schools. You need to make it more equitable. How are we doing here in Wisconsin? Do we have a system where some schools have a lot of money and can provide a lot of educational opportunity, others can't?
Oh, absolutely, and we are becoming a state of haves and have-nots. Since the state has kind of dialed back their investment in public schools, K through 12 public schools, more and more districts are going to referenda at alarming rates. And the great thing is they're passing at high rates. 80% of the people of the state are saying, since the state isn't providing adequate amount of money, we will tax ourselves more to cover that shortfall. Well, that's wonderful, but that's not the way the Constitution's set up. And then we also have 20% of those districts that don't pass referenda. And, you know, they are the have-nots. I mean, if your children and grandchildren were in those districts, I would wonder, you know, are they getting the best education? I'm sure that there's some inequities there that we need to resolve.
The state has a formula for how it funds schools, how it takes property tax money in particular and distributes it among school districts. It's a complicated system. Do you think it needs to be rethought out, reformed, changed?
Well, absolutely. It's been broken since I've been in public education, which is about close to 40 years now. So absolutely it's broken. And, you know, a couple of things are a problem. One is that the surrogate for wealth in the formula is property, and it's not income. And so if you're a district up north that has lots of resort and high per equal or equalized aid or equal high property value, excuse me for stumbling there, they get less state aid. And in those districts, income is not high. In fact, it's very low. So that's unfair, but the system itself is exceedingly complex, and there's only a handful of people in the state that really know it well, frankly. But what we have to do is, in the meantime, before people provide some leadership here in the legislature, we need to fix what's existing. And the proposals that I have, I believe, will get us in the right direction. The other part of it is, of course, the general aid that all school districts get. That also needs to be changed to reflect our need in our state to, it's our moral compass to make sure that kids that are struggling get that extra lift. And I think all our systems need to be viewed through that lens.
We're talking to Tony Evers, State Superintendent of Public Instruction. He delivered an address on the state of education here in Wisconsin yesterday. Just have a couple more minutes with you, Superintendent Evers. You brought up concerns about teacher shortages in schools, especially in high-needs areas. What is Wisconsin seeing?
Well, it is difficult, and there's data to support that. The teachers across the country, a study by the Policy Institute indicated that they earn 17% less than their equal peers that are college educated. So the amount of, I think they're undercompensated for starters. But the scary thing is that, you know, we have a little bit of the Wild West out there where districts, some districts can pay more and get teachers from smaller school districts that pay less. Some of their high flyers and coming to the suburban or wealthier districts, and then the rural districts are sitting there trying to find the people to replace them, and it's just extraordinarily difficult. Special education, English learners, teachers that work with them, and also career and technical education teachers. We're at a real tipping point here, and we really need to look at the ways to correct that.
You talked about more funding from the state for higher teacher pay. Governor Walker's office said we gave schools the tools to pay high performers, merit pay, that sort of thing. That's the tool they need to attract and retain teachers. What do you say?
Yeah, well, those tools have been used once, and there's no more tools in the toolbox. And so those small rural districts that lose really quality and highly coveted teachers are moving out. And what are they supposed to do? Take more money out of the present staff's pockets? Say, geez, well, we have to cut back your pay so that we can do merit pay to get people here. I mean, those tools have been used once. They can't be used a couple times over. They kind of disappear after the first year. So it is a problem. And if I was a parent or a grandparent in a rural school that's losing teachers, and I heard it from Southwest Wisconsin. I was just down in a school district down there. They're losing teachers to Dubuque and Platteville and other districts and larger districts, and they are having a hard time replacing people. Now, is that fair to that school district? They've used all the tools. And, of course, in the past, those tools really were cutting back on teachers' salaries, cutting back on their benefits. So it came out of everybody's pocket. You can't reach into those pockets again.
Now, you mentioned in your address yesterday providing some money to rural districts to help attract and retain teachers in the short term. But you say it's not just money if we want to bring people into teaching. There's an attitude out there toward teachers. Can you leave us with some thoughts on that?
Sure. I absolutely believe that there's one free thing that we can do to get more people interested in the profession, especially young people. And we see that playing out in our schools of education, is we need to change the negative rhetoric around schools and around teachers. There seems to be, and I hear it from young people that are in college, They don't want to go into a profession where they're going to have a target on their back. And we have to change the rhetoric, and that's easy. People like locally like their teachers and support them, but at the state level and the national level, we need to do more to honor the profession. They're working harder than ever, and they're achieving as well or better than ever. So it's time to kind of recognize that and change the rhetoric. It's free.
Superintendent Evers, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Rob.
That's Tony Evers, State Superintendent of Public Instruction in Wisconsin. He joined us to talk about the state of education. Coming up, we'll talk to Alan Borsuk with Marquette Law School. He's a longtime education writer. More on the state of Wisconsin schools. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are schools like in Wisconsin? What are schools like in your community? What needs to change? What can improve? If you're a teacher, what do you think? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. More on education coming up on Central Time in just a few moments. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We are continuing our conversation about education in Wisconsin. We just heard from Tony Evers, State Superintendent of Public Instruction. He delivered his State of Education in Wisconsin address yesterday. Alan Borsuk joins us now, Senior Fellow of Law and Public Policy at the Marquette University Law School. He's covered education issues for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a parent, a member of the community, what would you like to see change in Wisconsin schools? If you are in education yourself, what is it like in your school district today? Are you seeing teacher shortages where you are? Or are you not? What is the solution? If so, call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Alan Borsuk, welcome back to Central Time.
Glad to be here.
Well, what were your thoughts on what Superintendent Evers had to say today or at his address yesterday?
Well, he's outlining some broad themes. In fact, he was starting to get more specific in some of the comments right here than he was in the actual speech yesterday. This business of changing the categorical funding to direct it more towards high needs areas, for example. The real battle is going to begin when he makes his budget proposals to the governor and the Department of Administration, and then, of course, when it hits the legislature come about February. Superintendent Evers has been in favor of increasing education spending in the last several budget cycles, and of course that hasn't sold too well once it hits the legislature and Republican majorities there. And what's going to happen this coming spring is going to be both really crucial and, from a reporting standpoint, really interesting to watch.
Yes, Superintendent Evers hoping to get some money restored, even if the schools don't come out ahead after cuts. And we've heard, I think, Governor Walker and some of the legislature say, yeah, one of our priorities is to get some funding back to the schools. What kind of things are we hearing?
Well, there's been a shift in Governor Walker's comments on this going back to the state address last January, that he seems to be increasingly aware that there's some legitimate spending issues and finance issues related to school districts all over the state. I think one of the reasons he's hearing this is because schools in Republican districts, it's not just Madison and Milwaukee, it's statewide that they're saying we are really strapped. And I think there's some recognition of that. There's some political acknowledgement of it. What that's going to translate into in terms of dollars and how to parcel out these dollars, that's really unknown at this point.
I want to bring in a caller now. We've got Jamie on the line in River Falls. Jamie, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to say, Jamie?
Well, I just wanted to respond to some of the earlier comments regarding Tony Evers mentioned shortage in teacher applicants and the kind of rhetoric surrounding education in general, and wanted to chime in to say locally in River Falls, we certainly have seen a decline in the number of applicants for some of our teaching positions, certainly not all, but there's a growing number of concerns within the teaching profession regarding the number of people that are interested in going into the field of teaching. And I think that our public media and the perception that people have regarding the teaching profession has fed into some negativity that needs to be addressed.
And Jamie, do you work in the district there?
I am the superintendent of the district, yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jamie, for sharing your firsthand experience there. Alan, are there a lot of administrators in Jamie's schools that you've heard of that are worried about hiring the teacher, especially maybe that teacher for a very specific kind of class?
Well, it's mostly in specific areas, as Dr. Evers was saying, special ed, high school math and science, bilingual, some of those areas where there is a bigger shortage. But frankly, I've seen very little in the way of numbers as far as actual openings at the moment. If I can be a little less politically correct, perhaps, there's a second aspect to this. It's not only just the numbers. Are you going to find people to be teachers in the classrooms? Because they're still okay jobs. They could be treated with way more respect, which is an important theme. But the question also is who's being attracted. Is it the best and the brightest? I have enormous respect for teachers, but as the pool gets smaller of who's applying for jobs, what's that doing to the quality and the talent of that pool? And that's something to be really concerned about.
Jamie, thanks for that call. We'll go next to Joe in Eau Claire. Joe, hi.
Hi. I just have a quick comment or a question, I guess. I'm currently a science education major at a university in Wisconsin, and I'm really excited about being a teacher, kind of a facilitator of learning in the near future. My comment is, you know, with the lack of funding, I'm kind of curious as to what are people really expecting, whether it's a Republican side or a Democratic side or any side of the aisle, what are people expecting in the next 20 years? If we don't fund education, what kind of society are we going to have? How are we going to have a future anything, future engineers or future people in politics or any sort of leadership in the future? I mean, it's all facilitated by education. So I guess that's where my confusion comes is how do you not fund this? Where are you going to be in 30 years if we don't have educated individuals?
Joe, thanks for the call. And Alan, are people in the schools, people from outside analysts worried that we're cut to the point, that we're this teacher shortage is at a point where it's starting to affect the actual quality of education that Joe says is going to affect us, you know, as kids graduate over the next 15, 20 years?
Are they worried about this? Yes. Is it hard to pin down exactly what that means? Yes, you're seeing increased class sizes in some districts in the state. You're seeing fewer adults overall in the building. The adult-to-student ratio is changing and not favorably. I talked to a school official in Pewaukee, the other day, and we were talking about high school rigor, and he said, I spent a lot of my time thinking about what is the class of 2030 going to need and not just the class of 2017. Well, the class of 2030 is actually in school already. That would be this year's four-year-old kindergartners. So it isn't such a distant question, and the long-term impacts are something to really be thoughtful and concerned about.
Thanks for that call. As we talk to Alan Borsuk about the state of education in Wisconsin, we go to Nancy in Grafton next. Nancy, hi.
Hi. I understand that 40% of those charter schools here in the state have gone bankrupt. They're no longer operating, and they got a heck of a lot of money from the taxpayers. And how are we going to change that? We should not have that kind of functioning schools or malfunctioning. Thank you.
Nancy, thanks for the call. The state of charter schools, Alan, and how they fit into this.
If you got another hour, we can... It's a very complicated subject. And some of the best schools in the state are charter schools. Some of the worst schools in the state were charter schools, and many of them are gone. My own feeling is a lot of it has to do with good control of who gets to open charter schools. Good authorizing would be the term. They do get less per student than a general public school does, but does that weaken a public school district financially? You could have a really long debate about that. Really complicated subject, and then we get into private school vouchers, which are kind of the partner to that.
Yeah, we've got a caller on the line, Phil, who I don't know if we'll have time to take him. He says vouchers are the answer to school funding, a better alternative to property taxes. I mean, that's again, a huge, long answer, but the role of
vouchers.
I'll
give you a quick answer to that.
Go for it.
It is a very complicated subject, but the quick answer to that is I'd feel a lot better about vouchers as the answer, if there was any evidence in Milwaukee, anything more than very modest evidence in Milwaukee, which has a 26-year history of vouchers and an almost 20-year history of really expanded vouchers, that it raised the level of educational achievement. The truth is the voucher schools overall and the Milwaukee public school system overall have about the same levels of achievement.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Alan, I'd asked Tony Evers about the idea of revisiting the basic school funding formula, big, complicated thing. Is there any likelihood that that's going to happen in the next 5, 10 years or our lifetimes, maybe?
Well, without getting to the merits of the discussion, because there are merits, certainly, I think politically that's very unlikely. It's just so ingrained. When Jim Doyle became governor in 2003, he named a task force to look at this subject. They came back with some fairly thoughtful recommendations, and nothing was ever heard of it again because it's just so tough to change this. It's so ingrained, and it is so complicated.
We'll leave it there for now. Alan, thanks, as always, for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
That's Alan Borsak. He's a senior fellow at the Marquette University Law School, longtime education writer. You can follow his work in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joined us to talk about the state of education here in Wisconsin. We also heard from a state superintendent of public instruction, Tony Evers. Yesterday, he delivered his state of education address at the Capitol. I'm Rob Ferrett. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.